shout out to Claritin for supporting this episode and providing us with samples. Every single spring, that first day that I walk outside and I see that yellow dust all over my truck, I'm like, that is Satan's dandruff. It destroys me. I legitimately can't go outside for longer than 3 minutes because my eyes get swollen, my eyes get puffy, my nose gets congested, and I just simply can't breathe. Luckily for those of us who live with the symptoms of allergies, we can live Claritin Clear with Claritin D. Designed for serious allergy sufferers, Claritin D has two powerful ingredients in just one pill that relieve your allergy symptoms and decongest your nose so that you can breathe better. This double action combination of prescription strength allergy medicine and the best decongestant available relieves sneezing, a runny nose, itchy and watery eyes, an itchy nose and throat, and sinus congestion and pressure with ease. When I started taking Claritin D about 2 months ago, I can finally get back outside and play pickleball again, which is what I love to do, but I couldn't do it because my allergies were so bad. Claritin D has legitimately allowed me to go outside again. Ready to live life as if you don't have allergies? It's time to live Claritin Clear. Fast and powerful relief is just a quick trip away. Find Claritin D at the pharmacy counter. Ask for Claritin D at your local pharmacy counter. You don't even need a prescription. Go to Claritin.com right now for a discount so you can live Claritin Clear. Use as directed. What's this? Wait, what is happening? Is this new music? Yes, it is. My friends, y'all ready for this? Come on, come on. What do we have here? Do we have a new theme song? I don't know. I'm just kind of giving it a shot. This just felt very, very Carlos Whitaker podcast. And I decided to give it a shot. This is Dr. Delight again. Dr. Delight, whoever you are, just need you to know that you are the soundtrack of the Carlos Whitaker podcast. This is the fourth iteration of theme songs that we've used from Dr. Delight. This one is called Please, 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 Please Deliver Some of That Funk. Ha! I mean, a lot of like quick, nasty tone guitar riffs. Chicka, chicka, chicka. And then with a nasty bass line laid over it. Listen to this. Well, we got a new theme song for this week. Oh wait, I didn't know that it was going to break down like this. Put the needle on the record and the drum beat goes like this. Yeah, I feel like this is more my flow. So, hardcore Carlos Whitaker podcast listeners, let me know what you think. What do you think about this new theme song? Do you think we should keep Please, Please? Does this need to be the thing that we go? Listen, we're already 1 minute and 30 seconds into this and I have not talked about a single thing besides this funky, funky theme song. Thank you, Dr. Delight. We'll fade it out. Oh, friends, thanks for being here with me on another episode of the Carlos Whitaker podcast. A very special episode this week. Very special because we are rewinding way, 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 way. I probably need 30 more ways behind that, the iteration of the ways that are coming. Cause this friend of mine that is on this podcast today goes back way before most anybody knew me. I say most because most people that know me now haven't known me as long as this man, which would be why I just made that statement. Carlos, get your head in the game. And I need to let you know that this was a very special episode to record because it's going to take a lot of you back to a season of my life that many of you don't even know existed, put it that way. I would say the majority of people that are in the Insta Familia, the majority of people that follow me, A, have only been around here for 4 or 5 years, if that, right? Which means B, you didn't know that my full-time job before I started talking for a living was singing for a living. I was a worship leader. I was a worship artist. I had a record deal. That's why I moved to Nashville. I put out 2 records. If you dig deep into the archives of Google, you can find Carlos with a deep V-neck, where basically I look like a Daughtry doppelganger. Music was my thing. And the reason why music was my thing was because I worked at a church for 9 years. in Southern California as the worship pastor there. Actually, look, I found this. I found a little artifact. If you're watching on YouTube, you can see what I'm pointing here. Oh, actually. Oh, yeah, there it is. Look at that. Carlos, worship and arts pastor. Sandals Church. Real with ourselves, others, and God. I think they may have changed that up a little bit now. But look, this is my name tag that I used to wear at Sandals Church when I was the worship and arts pastor. And that's what I was. And I cut my teeth into ministry. I cut my teeth into really, you know, trying to love God with everything and help people love God with everything there. And I learned a lot of what I think is still deep within me from my pastor, Pastor Matt Brown, Matthew Brown. I don't know, Matt, how you want people to refer to you as. But for me, well, you were just Matt. And I'll tell you what, I went from, I guess I was, how old was I? 22 maybe? I don't know. I can't even, it was a long time ago. But I honestly am indebted for a lot of what I get to do now because of how Matt let me just kind of build a runway as we're taking off, as the plane is kind of launching. I mean, I'd come back with crazy ideas every week and he's like, yeah, go for it. Do it. Just kind of trusted me with everything. And so today's guest is the pastor of Sandals Church, still to this day, Pastor Matt Brown, Matthew Stephen Brown. And Matt has been with me through some of the darkest seasons of my life. And he's witnessed firsthand hopefully what I would consider, Phoenix rising of who Carlos is and, maybe what I've become and what the Lord has called me to be. And this is Sandals Church was a major part of my development as a leader, as a minister, as all the things that I am today. You know, it's funny. I still don't know what to tell people I do for a living. You know, for a lot of my living, I talk to my phone. Like, what does that mean? I write books. I'm an author, I'm a speaker, but it doesn't really adequately encapsulate everything that I do. And because I feel like I was able to work at Sandals Church for so long with this entrepreneurial spirit inside of me, because Matt let me do that. There's a lot of churches that don't let, they don't let the creatives that have entrepreneurial ideas and spirits blossom. And Matt did. And so I spent 9 incredible years of my life. The church is like, you know, it's once I left, it exploded. So, you know, I was probably the thing that was holding it down. I'm just grateful for Matt, grateful for Tammy, and the team that was there. There's still a lot of people that work there. This says a lot for a church that worked there. That worked there when I was working there in 2000 and long before I worked there. I guess maybe not long before, because I think initially there was only like 4 of us that were working there. But like, you know, Janie, I think Pastor Janie is still, Waybright is still working there. Justin Kowalski is still working there. There's a lot of people that worked with me on staff that are still working there. And I just love those people. I do. They mean a lot to me. So we're going to have a conversation with Pastor Matt today about kind of Carlos 1.0 and what life looked like, what Sandals Church was like when we were just these young kids trying to figure it out, running and gunning, growing that thing. And then what kind of life looks like now for him. He's written an incredible book on miracles. And this is coming from, you know, I mean, like we grew up Southern Baptist. So you start talking Southern Baptist about miracles, it's pretty cool. So Matt's got a couple good stories and great thoughts and insights into this world. So, familia. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to use our old theme music as the transition music into this interview with Pastor Matt Brown. Watch this. Oh, yeah. Buckle up. Sit back for our conversation with Matthew Stephen Brown. All right. So Carlos Whitaker podcast familia. I am with maybe the guest on the podcast that's known me the actual longest, which is Pastor Matt Brown from Sandals Church. Matt, say hello to all your new friends.
Yeah, hey guys. Super excited to be on the podcast. new Carlos back when?
Yes.
I know.
Back when, you know, it's funny, somebody had asked me, what do you think, do you like your, you know, the kids that are marrying your daughters? You know, yeah. Like, do you like the boyfriends? Do you like the, and
And it, like right away, my response was like, yeah, I like them, but I know they're going to be completely different humans in 10 years.
I know.
So like, so like there's this healthy expectation of like, you know, of like who you were, who you will be and who you are, you know? And so, yeah, you know, it's been, it's Matt, you were able to, I tell people all the time that Matt Brown, like really formed a lot of my, even still kind of ministerial views as to, how I view people. When I was at Sandals Church, I'll never forget. It started off when I started showing up there. We were in the basement of another church building, called BFOR. And it was like, how many people were down there?
Probably when you started coming, about 100. And then I think we got up to like 190. We were like a mega church, 190 people.
Mega. Mega church. Moy was leading worship. Mm-hmm. And then Mark McGuffey was like, had like, he was the word guy on the, I mean, this was overhead, like overhead transparency sheet days.
I know. Oh, remember Mark would spin it. He would spin the lyrics.
He would spin the lyrics. It was like pre PowerPoint, pre, all the new stuff. Like that was like the, it was special effects for like when the lyrics, you know, when we were singing Lord, I Lift Your Name on High, he'd spin it. And it was like, whoa, dude, this guy's next level.
Do you remember how you heard about Sandals? How did you even hear about us? Because we were so small.
So this is how, you were so small. Literally, it was Mark McGuffey. I'd been kicked out, expelled out of Berry College in Rome, Georgia. Okay. And then I'd moved to Fresno, California with my parents. And then my dad was on the board at Cal Baptist University. Okay. So he's like, hey, listen, I can get you into a college. You may not want to go to this college, but this is the one I can get you into. They'll accept you even though you've been expelled. Mm. It was Cal Baptist. So I was like, okay, sweet. So moved down there. And they assigned me Mark McGuffey as my roommate.
Oh, okay.
And I moved into it wasn't a dorm. It was like the little apartments at Cal Baptist with Mark McGuffey and a guy named Gray Toombs.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah.
Remember that name? Yeah. He was like, you know, he had sideburns. He was like the coolest cat. But it was that first Sunday, and Mark was like, hey, do you want to go with me to my church? It's called Sandals. And I was like, what?
Yeah.
And so he took me down into that basement, and I just remember being like, these are my people.
Oh, man.
Like, you kept talking about being real. Yeah, yeah. Like, and this was back when, you know, I think, I mean, we can fast forward to people in their church hurt these days, but back then it was unheard of for me to even think of a church talking about being authentic and being real.
Crazy.
Where did that come from? Where did that desire to be real? I mean, where's that jumping out point for you?
Well, I mean, back then I thought it's what people needed. Reflecting, I think it's what I needed. And so I think that, you know, I'm a 3 on the Enneagram, whose core sin is lying, right? And so I think I needed to create a church that forced me to be real. And so, I didn't know that. I didn't know about the Enneagram in the 90s. I didn't know anything about that, but I knew that I was tired of playing the game. I was tired of pretending. Yeah. I had had a real encounter with Jesus. And I felt like if the church could just allow people to be real, they could be set free, like Jesus says in John 8:32. And and Neil Christopher, you remember him? He was like, okay, real with whom? And I was like, I don't know, yourself, God, others. Like I literally said it like that. Yeah. And that's how it started rolling. And the name Sandals Church, I don't know if you remember this. So we were both football players, soccer.
Yep.
And I just had ugly feet. And so I was so embarrassed of my toenails, you know, because I grew up poor. My parents didn't always buy me, you know, soccer shoes, cleats that fit. Yeah. And I would only wear sandals in front of people that I was totally comfortable with. And so I came across Romans 10:15, how beautiful are the feet of those that bring good news. And I was like, bam. So that's where the name Sandals Church came from. It's just like, I want people to see the ugliest part of me and still love me. Cause that's how Jesus sees me. And,
dude.
Yeah. Yeah. And I know we were talking about Levi Lesko. And so he was telling me he heard about sandals through your Ragamuffin podcast or,
the blog.
Yeah, and probably your audience doesn't even know what a blog is. Yeah.
That's hilarious. You know, I started a blog while I was, you know, it's funny when you allowed me to, you know, I just think of kind of who I am now. Like I've always had this, you know, this thing inside of me that I think a lot of people that are working in churches, If they have my sort of personality, they kind of feel like a misfit in the church, like always want to start a new thing or always wanting to like I started a podcast before anyone knew what a podcast was, called it the Ragamuffin Soulcast. I had this blog. I would, you know, just try things. And you were always like, yeah, sure. You know, just whereas I feel like a lot of, you know, a lot of people that maybe have those tendencies, they don't fit in churches these days. They don't fit in the box of like, of what, I wasn't going to ask you this question, but talk about like leading people that have that kind of entrepreneurial spirit in them, you know, as they work for a church. Like, is that hard? Like, how do you approach that?
Well, okay. So I would say this, that I thought all pastors were like me. So and what I've learned is I'm very unusual. So that was a kind of an eye-opening experience for me, is that I'm drawn to creatives. I like people who think outside the box. I think Jesus thought outside the box. And so at the end of the day, I want to reach people that no one's reaching, and I want to do things that no one is doing. And so, you know, like if you came to Riverside and you're like, oh, we're super Christian and, you know, we're homeschool family building the Christian fort, you're probably not going to land at Sandals, because I tell people we're First Baptist Sodom and Gomorrah. So we had this pastor preach, and I won't say his name, but you know him, but he's like, yeah, I'm going to preach against legalism. And I'm like, yeah, that's not something Sandals struggles with. I was like, you can actually preach for legalism, and that might help us. You know, because half our audience is living with each other, sleeping with each other.
Yeah.
You know, they're on their second, third, fourth marriage, blended families, destroyed families. Yeah. I mean, that's just who Sandals Church reaches, and that's who I want to reach. I mean, we're like the last bus stop on Christianity. You know, after that, it's you're hopeless. So, but it's just this whole idea of being real. And you know, I grew up, I don't know about you, but I always struggle with my shame. Are you a 3 on the Enneagram?
I'm a 9.
Whoa. I didn't know that about you.
I'm a peacemaker.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I did not know that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm a 3, and the course in the underlying emotion is shame, and just constantly trying to cover. And so, you know, I need approval. I need popularity, success. You know, I just went through this thing with Rick Warren where, you know, I thought I was going to be the next guy, and it ultimately didn't happen. And I realized I had put
the next guy like at Saddleback.
Yeah, at Saddleback. Yeah. No,
got it.
I found out he picked Andy on social media.
Huh.
I thought I was the guy.
Wow.
Yeah. Oh, that was super fun.
Wow.
You know, and I was trying to process why am I so hurt by my hero? And the truth is, you know, he could pick whoever he wants, and I'm rooting for Andy to be successful. But I had put on him some unmet needs that I had from my own dad. And so, you know, and so that's not on Rick, that's on me. And sure, he could handle it better, but whatever, you know, I could have handled 1,000 things better in my life, but I was devastated. And here's why, even as a 50-year-old, I thought, okay, if I get that platform, then I'm going to feel okay. Well, that's not the truth, right? Because that escalator is never ending. And so I really had to process through that and work through my own brokenness and my own continued healing. That I keep thinking, we're good now. And then I'm like, oh,
yeah.
You know, I'm like, Lord, I didn't, you know, I feel like I've, and you know, you lived in Riverside. I feel like I've torn down Mount Rubido. And then the Lord's like, yeah, but did you see Mount Everest? And I'm like, what? I'm like, there's a mountain over there. Right. And so God just keeps showing me and revealing me these hard truths. And so,
that's good.
Yeah, so that's where I think, you know, the vision of real comes from, is I have this deep core shame piece in my life that it's just a part of who I am. And, you know, the gospel, like I can preach that to you, but I have a hard time preaching it to myself. So.
Are you looking for someone to join your team? Listen up. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast, lightning fast. So listen, ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, also screening, also messaging, and you can connect with candidates so much faster. And listen to this. Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. One of the things I love about Indeed is the user interface. It is so easy. It's not complicated, so you're not going to have this long 2-month learning curve on how to even use the platform. You can use it quickly from day one. And listeners of the show get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/human hope. Just go to Indeed.com/human hope right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/human hope. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. Did you know that Americans spend an average of 90% of their time indoor and take about 20,000 breaths a day? That's a lot of breathing. Sorry, I just breathed in your ear. But listen, the indoor air that we breathe is 2 to 5 times more polluted than outdoor air, and in some cases, up to 100 times more polluted, according to the EPA. Y'all, we need to be spending time outside. But if you can't get outside, you know what you need? You need an air doctor. What in the world is an air doctor? Well, air doctor filters out 99.99% of dangerous contaminants so that your lungs don't have to. This includes pollutants such as, check this out, allergens, pollen, pet dander, dust mites, mold spores, and even bacteria and viruses that make you sick. Here's an offer for you. Air Doctor comes with a 30-day breathe easy money back guarantee. So if you don't love it, just send it back for a refund minus the shipping. Head to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code HUMANHOPE. You'll receive up to $300 off air purifiers exclusive to podcast customers. You will also receive a free 3-year warranty on any unit, which is an additional $84 value. Lock this special offer by going to airdoctorpro.com and use promo code human hope.
Is it ever achievable? Is healing, is Matt Brown like never, are you ever going to get to the point where you're like, I am 100% confident my identity is never going to be placed in some other desire that I'm hoping to reach some other mountain? Like if, for the person that's listening, that's like, well, I feel the same thing. Like every time I achieve the next thing, there's always the next thing. Like, what do we do with that?
Yeah. Yeah. So for me, and again, I would say no. I mean, what's what I said in my book that I wrote a couple years ago, a book called You. Don't ever believe a 3 when they give you a goal, because the post just keeps moving. You know, it's never ending. Uh-huh. And so, you know, and part of that, you know, has affected my family. It's affected my marriage.
Sure.
Because, you know, Tammy said this, and for the, I know you know her, but for those listening, my wife's name is Tammy. She said, I feel like, you remember when we were kids, we'd go to a wedding and they would get in the car and they would have the cans tied behind the car. Do you remember that?
Yeah.
Your listeners probably don't remember
that. Totally.
They would put like Pepsi cans. And that was...
They've all seen it on movies. Yeah, we've seen it.
So my wife said, I feel like you're in the car following Jesus and the kids and I are these cans and we're being dragged.
Jeez.
And I was like, oh. And, you know, I keep promising there's a rest stop, but there never is. And so...
Huh.
So that was hard to hear.
Yeah.
And
And then so what do you do with that?
Yeah, I just again, I have to trust, you know, Colossians 3, I think it's 3:13 says your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's the NLT version of that translation. And just trusting that my true self is found in Jesus and not in any achievement and or success. And because the thing is, and you know this, people would say you're extraordinarily successful, Matt. And I would say,
sure.
I don't feel that way. And that's my brokenness.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
So what I would say is what I'm doing is I keep going to counseling. I keep working through this, dealing with my own wounding from life, from people. But ultimately knowing that, you know, Christ has forgiven me for all of that. And so his blood covers that. And that's why I'm a Christian. I'm grateful I'm not a Muslim or, you know, that just has to strive and work, or a Mormon. Oh my gosh, I would jump off a cliff.
Okay. So with what you just said, you know, I haven't known a pastor as intimately, to be honest with you, as I've known you. And so I trust you when I'm going to ask you this question. As far as a lot of people that are listening to this right now, you have been, you're very grace filled. You've been very grace filled in my life. But you also are very direct, which you don't find a lot of that together a lot of times. And there's a lot of people that listen to my podcast that have been wounded in the last, you know, who knows, wounded by the church, wounded by religion, wounded by, you know, pastors or whatever it may be. And so I don't really ask this question to pastors that I have on my podcast because I don't trust them, but I'm going to ask you, how would you help somebody that is like, they've been out of church for 3 years. Mm. They're like, but there's this desire. There's this desire to trust again, to step back into some sort of community, but they're just scared and they don't know how. What would you say to that person that there does have a little bit of desire to find community again, but they've been wounded in some way, shape, or form by whether it be Christianity or the church? Like, talk to that person for a second.
So what I would say is, and I don't just mean this as just a plug, but get my book, sure, Every Day a Miracle, read chapter 11, Healing of the Heart. And, you know, I talk about our friends, Matt and Lori, in that book. And remember, they brought, they brought the gal that was in the sex industry. They moved her into her home, and she lived with them for 6 years. So this is a real person. This is not a made up story. In the book, I call her Mackenzie. I changed her name. I just did not want to use her real name, but you know who she is. And so here's what I would say is, you know, there are good people out there. There are Matt and Lori's, and the Lord has a Matt and Lori for you. So here's what I would say. Stop using the language church. Stop using the language religion and actually write the name. Who hurt you? What was their name? And Carlos, I never shared this with you, but I talk about it in the book. I was abused by my youth pastor at my church in Sacramento. And I was very angry with the Lord. And I did, not sexually, but physically. He was a violent, angry man. And I actually went to jail. This is a true story. He was working for Boeing, for all of our listeners who are just super scared about flying, for 10 years, and they found out he wasn't actually an engineer. He never went to engineering school. So this guy was
amazing.
Yeah. This guy was like, catch me if you can. And, you know, he told me, if you tell your dad what I did to you, I'll be fired. And I have kids.
Oh my gosh.
And And so I didn't. So I got very angry at God. I got very angry at the church. I got very angry at religion. And then I just turned my life to complete crap. And my mom, you remember, you know, my mom, she sent me a care package at Cal Baptist from UPS. And I went to, and I tell this story in the book, and I went to UPS and I got really upset and it turned into an altercation. You remember young Matt Brown?
Yeah, I do.
And he said, do you want the package or not? And I said, of course, it's mine. And I heard the Holy Spirit say, do you want me or not?
Oh, wow.
And I, and what God revealed to me in that, and I talk about this in the book, is don't judge Christ because of someone who wears his uniform. Don't lose your package that's hand delivered for you because some a-hole in a church or some church that's full of broken people and they don't know what they're doing. I mean, if we can be completely honest with your audience, I would just say this. I hurt Carlos. I hurt Heather. I didn't know what the hell I was doing. And I love you, bro. And I'm sorry. You know, you know, I made mistakes. This is what I tell people about Sandals. We were like a garage band, right? And you're going to play the bass and I'm going to be lead vocals. And then all crap, we got famous. And now what do you do? Well, you don't know what to do. Mm. I had no business training. I'd never had employees. I had no idea how to lead you, cultivate you. You know, my brother worked for me. I blew up that relationship. And I love my brother and I'm still hopeful that one day God will heal that relationship. But I want your audience to hear me. I did not know what I was doing. I was a broken sinner who was radically touched by Jesus, who had a leadership gift, who had a speaking gift, but was still a mess. And so, So just like I did with Rick Warren, people put me on this pedestal and then I hurt them. I do something. And you know me, I would never intentionally hurt somebody, but that doesn't mean I don't hurt somebody.
Yes.
So, you know, I tell church leaders this all the time. The difference between first degree murder, second degree murder, and third degree murder is intent. For all the people that hurt you, if you can read chapter 11, there's a Matt and Lori sitting in a church somewhere for you. And and the only way Satan uses the hands of people to hurt you, the Lord borrows hands to heal you. And here's the thing, that process takes time. And so in that story, I tell Mackenzie's story, and we did not touch physically for 10 years, Carlos, because men hurt her sexually.
Yeah.
Men that promised to be safe, men that promised to be good. And so any touch was just not acceptable. Sure. And so at her birthday, Matt and Lori and I were there, some other friends that you know were there. She turned 40. So at the age of 12, her mom said, hey, there's some men here to see you. So think about Sohail and Sayana. Like, I get so mad, you know?
Yeah.
Cause I'd kill somebody that did that to your girls. Like, And so she's on her 12th birthday and her mom says, hey, there's some men to see you. And she's introduced into prostitution. Wow. At her 40th birthday, Matt and I and Lori and I, we moved her in, we celebrated her, and I'm walking out the door, Carlos. I'm writing this book, Everyday Miracle.
Yeah.
She taps me on the shoulder. I turn around and she gives me the first hug.
Wow.
And I started weeping. And 10 years. And so here's what I would say to everybody. The lie in the church is come forward for prayer and we'll heal you. The lie in the church is say a prayer, go to a workshop and you'll be healed. Here's the truth. Emotional wounds take time. And we all have people in our life. You could name 10 people right now that you love that you don't trust. So, you know, and the truth is some of us love Jesus, but don't trust him. So what I would say is I love the church. Trust slowly and trust over time.
That's good.
When you see people reveal their character. And Mackenzie and I are still in small group together. And so, matter of fact, I was super nervous. You read the book and thank you so much for your kind. I was so nervous what she was going to think about it. And she said this to me, it was the greatest compliment. She said, I can tell you really love me and you want to protect me. And I was like, okay, home run. And so, you know, that's what I would say is find a church where the pastor loves you and wants to protect you. He's not going to be perfect. He's going to offend you. He's going to hurt you. He's going to disappoint you. Jesus disappointed people. You know, we just had Palm Sunday a couple weeks ago. The greatest disappointment of all. The Jews were like, here he comes. We're going to kill the Romans. Life's going to be great. And he was not he was the disappointing Messiah. He's not what they wanted. They wanted a victorious king. He was a dying king. And so all of us need to be prepared and be ready to be disappointed. And
never thought of it.
And out of that hurt, Carlos, is where the book came. Had I gone to Saddleback, I don't think I could have wrote this book. Because I don't ever learn anything through success.
Sure.
I learned nobody does. I learned crap through success. All it does is inflates my ego. You know, it polishes my turd, which is, you know, shame. And, you know, I'm just not as real as I need to be. And so out of that, I get to write this amazing book and I get to learn, oh my gosh, I am not as healthy as I think I was. Stuff came out of me, Los. Sorry, I call you Los. Stuff came out of me that I thought I had put to bed decades ago. And one of the really ugly things that came out was anger.
Wow.
And I don't think you would describe me as an angry person, but let me tell you, I was. And it was interesting. My mom is reading the book and you know, my dad is going through what your dad's going through. We're a couple years behind. Right. And my wife, Freudian slip there. My mom called me and said, she said, I need to confess to you. I'm angry. I'm angry at God. And she said, the moment she said that, she felt better.
There it is.
So that's the thing. So when you get to the complex reality of healing, some of it's spiritual, some of it's physical, and some of it's emotional. And for far too long in the church, we just have faith, say a prayer. And so, and I would say this to all your listeners, I don't guarantee you the miracle you want. I do guarantee you the miracle you need because the Lord loves you and he's going to bring that. And so I know that was a really long answer to your question, but...
I appreciate the long answer, and I also, you know, I want to put this caveat in here just for my listeners. Like, Matt and I have healed through the years. So it's not like, you know, on this podcast episode where, you know, Heather has definitely helped me realize all of the wounding I left as I dropped bombs and walked away from Sandals Church, you know, all those years before. And so I'm grateful that we're able to, And I think this is even a great picture for people that are listening. It's like, wow, like I wounded Matt. And, you know, when I let the way that I left, I was so immature and we're able to like reconcile and like repair relationship and be in relationship and now like walk with each other through our fathers facing the same situation. I just think that this is actually a beautiful picture of what is possible, you know, what is possible when it comes to healing.
Here's what's interesting is, so 20 years ago, I was your pastor. I reached out to you for you to be mine.
Wow.
Because you're ahead of me in your suffering. And and I was, you know, I was stirring in my pride, but I was like, you know what, Lord, I don't know what to do. And I know I know Carlos loves his dad. I know Carlos loves me. And we were talking about Levi Lesko. It was actually him that convicted me in Mexico. And because he goes, you know, Carlos is going through this, which I knew you were going through this.
Yeah.
And I was like, okay, Lord. You know, and that's another thing, you know, is would I consider myself a prideful person? I would say no, but obviously yes. And so I reached out to you and I would just say this to you, Los, is, and for all your listeners, I want you to imagine losing a Carlos Whitaker when you're a church of like 1500, like you have Carlos Whitaker on your staff. Like, and you went to North Point and here's how I don't think I've ever told you this, but here's what I felt like. I felt like you were my girlfriend.
Yeah.
Like, and you were the hottest girl I'd ever dated. And Andy Stanley comes by in his convertible Porsche. No, I'm serious. I told Tammy, I think I actually told Tammy this. I said, Andy Stanley comes by in his convertible Porsche and he says, get in. Yeah. And I lost my hot girlfriend. And, but here's the thing here's the gross thing. You were never mine. You were always the Lord's. And look at what you've done and look at the lives you've changed and look at the ministry that you've done.
Yeah.
And the Lord is taking care of sandals. So what I would say is I was jealous of Andy's success. And I don't know if Andy listens to your podcast. Love you, Andy. And appreciate you.
Probably not. I'll go and let you know.
Okay. Well, if he does, anyone listening, I love Andy. And Andy's been a pillow for me to cry on several times. So,
yes, absolutely.
You know, but that's how I felt. And so here's the horrible thing. Now I pluck talented people from little churches and it's like, now I'm the Andy Stanley. And so, you know, and so I always feel so bad, you know, when somebody feels called, you know, we use that language for promotion in the church.
Sure.
And so, I mean, Los, I love you and I appreciate you.
I love you too,
and man. I love your kids and your wife. And
I know, I love stepping into new seasons of relationship with you. One of the things that, you know, you do have this book, Every Day a Miracle. It's the book that you've been talking about, you know, for the last few minutes. And this is what I love about books. There's the title and then there's a subtitle. Yeah. And a lot of times for me, it's the subtitle that is the thing that's going to like really pull me in. And the subtitle is Trusting the God Who Heals Us Inside and Out. I mean, that's hard.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, that is, you know, Every Day a Miracle is like one thing, but then trusting the God who heals us inside and out is a whole other thing.
Yeah.
For people that are praying for miracles, they're like, you know, how can they trust that God's going to, you know, deliver?
Yeah. Well, I don't know that you can trust that he'll deliver, you can trust that he'll heal. And so the word save in the Greek, sozo, can mean to save, which is what we all want. So we all want salvation. Lord, save us. But the word sozo also means heal. And what I say in the book is the Lord came to do both. And so, you know, you and I experienced the miracle together in chapter 4. I've forgotten you were there that day. We were at a birthday party for my brother and my niece. I don't remember if they ever said if she had a heart attack or a stroke. I don't know what happened, but she stopped breathing. And I loved what you said when we talked about it on the phone. You're like, I'm still scarred from that day. And
still triggered.
Yeah. So we did CPR on her, which actually made her condition worse because you don't do CPR on an infant. Hmm. And we didn't know that. We're all kids. Like, you know, and that's what I would say for everybody who's been hurt in the church. They think they're helping. Like we thought we were helping her. She's asked that I not use her first name. So I'm going to call her Janella, which is her middle name. You know, we thought we were helping Janella and, Janelle is my grandmother, Janelle. And we blew holes, Carlos, in her lungs.
Wow.
So, you know, and that's what I was just say, you know, Henry Nouwen has a book called Wounded Healer and it's not my book. I wish I wrote it, but man, oh my gosh. When you step into church, just remember it's broken people trying to help you. And, and, you know, regardless of the doctrine, the theology, we're all broken, deeply, deeply broken. And, and, you know, I don't know if you've ever heard me say this, but starting a religion called Christianity would be like erecting a high school for whites only in the name of Martin Luther King Jr. Like, just think about that for a second. Jesus came to tear down religion, and we built one up in his name. So he dies on the cross to tear all these things down, and we erect this structure. We do the exact opposite, and we become Pharisees and legalists and, you know, all of the, and I'm not saying sin doesn't matter. I don't want your audience to hear that. Sin is like cancer. It'll destroy you. But, but you know, like we forget what our teacher came to teach us, and, you know, so.
Can I tell you that in the middle of this wedding season for my family, one thing that we don't have time to do is cook like we used to cook. Now, I know it's coming back when the wedding planning goes away, but as of right now, do you know what the Whitakers are using? We are using Factor. What in the world is Factor? Well, listen, you can eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh and never frozen meal, that's huge for us, is chef crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Now, we have chosen from the keto and vegan menu, okay? There's a lot of different menus that you can use as well, but you can discover over 60 add-ons every single week, okay? No fuss, no mess meals. Factor eliminates the hassle of prepping, cooking, and cleaning up. When Heather goes out of town, I open up my Factor meal, okay? So Factor is your solution for fast, premium meals without the need for cooking. Listen, this is what I need you to do. Head to factormeals.com/Carlos50 and use code Carlos50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box. That's a lot of percentages here. That's code Carlos50 at factormeals.com/Carlos50 and get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
Hey there, I'm Dr. Maya Shunker, and I'm a scientist who studies human behavior. Many of us have experienced a moment in our lives that changes everything, that instantly divides our life into a before and an after. On my podcast, A Slight Change of Plans, I talk to people about navigating these moments. Their stories are full of candor and hard-won wisdom. And you'll hear from scientists who teach us how we can be more resilient in the face of change. Listen on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Wow. Yeah. You know, that's like 15 podcasts with a comment right there.
I know.
You can like unpack, but you know, it was triggering for me to know that, you know, as we're praying for miracles, you know, and we were praying for the miracle for what are we calling her? Janelle.
Janelle. Yeah.
That's your request. I was holding her.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, no, but I was legitimately holding her in my arms. A gate slammed. I remember her jumping, and I just remember everything going to hell at that point. And it was traumatizing. And it was, but I do remember that was one of the first times that I prayed for something and for someone that I didn't know what the outcome was going to be like. But it was like so fervent. What do we do, Matt, with, you know, I listened to you read the book, you know, on a long road trip with Heather. And people ask me this all the time, and I actually still even stumble through this sometimes. I look at my dad who lives across the street from me now, and I think, you know, do I still pray for healing? Do I still pray for a miracle when I've never seen, you know, besides on like movies, someone being healed of dementia or Alzheimer's? Is that something that I stop praying or do I keep going that direction? What do we do with things like that?
Yeah. So I would say yes and no. So yeah, you know, because we're going through a series right now at Sandals called Miracles. And so I've been convicted. My wife's like, what are you praying for? And I just realized I'm not praying for miracles. So why do I say yes and I say no? Like, your dad, Carlos, needs to die. It is the way of life.
Yeah.
It is the consequence of sin. It is our reality. So all miracles are merely extensions. The most beautiful picture of that is Hezekiah in the Bible. God says, I will extend your life 15 years. So we need to understand that. Even Lazarus in the Bible had to die again. Like, so he had to go through that twice. So death is inevitable. The Bible says the wages of sin is death. So your dad has to die at some point. And at some point, you're going to want him to die because our bodies get so old and so frail. They don't function anymore. And death is actually a welcome friend. But in that, you know, you don't want to see him suffer. You don't want to see him go. You don't want to see your mom suffer, right? I mean, you know, there's the miracle for that. So on the one hand, I want to pray for a miracle for my dad to be healed. On the other hand, I want to pray for the miracle of healing, Carlos. And this is huge with my mom, with my dad, with my wife, with my brother, and I. And so God may be using this suffering to bring about healing.
Wow.
So that's what Romans 8:28 means. God causes all things. It doesn't say he causes all things. It says in the Greek, he causes all things for a purpose. He causes them to be used for a purpose. He doesn't cause it, but he causes them to be used for a purpose. That God uses all things.
That's a big difference.
For the good of those who love him and are called according to his purpose. So did God cause dementia in your dad's life? No, in mine, no. But what did he do? He brought our relationship back together.
Yep. Yep.
Without your dad's illness and my dad's illness, we're not having the podcast.
Right.
So what we need to do, Carlos, is we just need to get over death. I'm going to die. You're going to die. Mm-hmm. Your wife's going to die. Your kids are going to die. Our parents are going to die. Death is this inevitable thing that only we as modern humans struggle with. Like, like when you read the early church fathers, nobody's struggling with why are bad things happening to me? You don't hear that. What you hear in the early church fathers is be encouraged because ultimately God is with you. And even if you die, you know, the Lord awaits. And so it's only in our modern world where, you know, I think about my grandpa, you know, 12 children, six lived to 20. Huh. So that's my mom's parents' generation.
Yeah.
My mom's grandparents' generation. So we're just so accustomed to everything going great. You know, we have our 2.4 kids now because we expect 2.4 of them to survive until they're 100. So get over it. Listen, planes are going to crash. Cars are going to crash. Mm-hmm. People are going to get cancer. Those things are inevitable. That's a part of living in a fallen world. And we have to embrace that and say, okay, Lord, where are you in the midst of this? And what are you trying to teach me? Because the miracle is not, I always get to get out of pain. So, and you and I both know chapter 6, when God says no, you know, our friend lost their son to self-harm. Yeah. And actually, I think that's the last time I saw you was at that funeral.
Yeah.
And we prayed for a miracle. And I asked in Jesus' name for him to be healed. And he was not. And some of your listeners are like, okay, well, why would you pray over a dead guy to come back to life? Well, read chapter 12. Because one time I did pray over a dead kid and he woke up. And I don't know if you heard that chapter, but it was in a hospital. And the surgeon was not a Christian. The anesthesiologist was not a Christian.
Wow.
You know, matter of fact, when I started to pray, they started to walk out. I was like, where are you guys going? I was like, everybody's staying here. Huh. I made them hold hands, Carlos, like in a circle around the boy. Yeah. There was one Christian in the room, Dr. Viandone, and he said, we're not calling the kid dead until you pray. And so he hadn't been breathing for 8 hours. The guy from Texas goes, the effing kid is dead. Just call it. And I prayed over him. I said, God, we did this. I need you to heal this in Jesus' name. And I said, amen. And he woke up. I mean, he woke up.
Wow.
And he's fine and alive and he's well and he's never had a problem again. So God can do that, but he doesn't always do that because the goal of Christ is not to get us out of all suffering and all pain. The goal of Christ is to transform us into the likeness of his son. And unfortunately, that path oftentimes is suffering. And so, you know, I mean, and part of what you're learning, Carlos, is your dad is amazing as he is. And for your listeners, he just wasn't amazing in your life. He was a giant in my life. Like, I remember the first time I met your dad, it was like meeting the Pope, you know, it was like, oh my gosh. you know, your dad was a powerful, powerful man in our religious life. And so here he is, you know, he doesn't know who he is. He can't bathe himself. He can't, you know, that's really, really hard to watch. But part of the miracle in that is, you and I think, will be better prepared for death and suffering as we age. I think it's caught my parents by surprise. And I don't understand that. You know, like I remember I did a funeral, this woman at our church, 108, she died and her family's crying. I'm like, you didn't see this coming. I mean, she's 108. Right. Like just think about that, Los, 108.
Yeah.
And so death is inevitable. And I'm not saying we should be calloused or hard or dismissive.
Sure.
I'm just saying it's a part of life. Marcus Aurelius says, you know, death smiles at us all. All you can do is smile back. And so that we need to look at that. And I'm not saying welcome in or celebrate it. Even Jesus said, Lord, if there's any other way. And what did the Lord say? Nope.
Right.
This is the way.
Yep.
And so, so what I would say is, you can ask God for a miracle. So in your, how old's your dad?
He is 84.
So the Lord heals him of dementia. So for what? So he has 5 more years, 3 more years, 10 more years. At some point, right, we're back here again and
we're back to the suffering again.
And so, so really a miracle would mean now you go through this twice, right? Cause there's the elation of, it's like people who battle cancer. Hey, I'm in remission and everybody celebrates. And then 3 years later it's back and you're like, oh man.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I
so what's the miracle? So I guess that's the question to start asking.
Yeah. And so Jesus says, asking you will receive anything according to my will. So the question is, God, what is your will? So I know what you can do. I don't know what you will do. Sometimes his will is dramatic, miraculous healing. And oftentimes, Carlos, it's in the lives of unbelievers. Like I see it more because God is trying to woo them and draw them for the purpose of eternal life. But you know, I've seen one kid come back from the dead in my life. And that's what the publisher wanted me to put that chapter first. I'm like, I'm not putting that first. I'm putting that in the last chapter because I've seen it one time.
You've seen the miracle of lives changing.
Yeah. Yeah. So what I would say is Jesus says, ask. Yeah. And as Christians, so I don't know if you remember this in the book, I talk about, we're all sitting in the waiting room at the hospital and, it's actually Mike Parcio. Mike Parcio shows up. I didn't use his name in the book. And he says, shouldn't we be praying?
Yeah.
We're all Christians.
Sure.
And nobody's praying. What we're doing is we're all sharing the story. So we turn into news reporters. And here's the thing, sharing the news doesn't change lives. Sharing the power of Jesus through prayer changes lives. And so I wrote this book for your listeners that are Christians.
Yeah.
Instead of sharing your faith, share your prayers. Say, hey, can I pray for you? Because God works in miraculous ways. And so,
I don't know
if you read in chapter 1, the guy that wasn't a believer, doesn't go to church, you know, got pneumonia. He actually got COVID. I didn't want to say COVID, but he got COVID. Yeah. He was in the ICU and he FaceTimed me like we're doing right now. And he said, will you pray for me? I said, let me get this straight, John. You want me to pray to a God that you don't believe is real to heal you? And he's tears running down his eyes. You know, he's got the big ventilator on his mouth. And the nurse is holding the camera. He's so weak, he can't even hold the camera. And they said, if you crash one more time, we're going to put you in the coma. And remember, at that time, everybody that went in they died. Like it was like 95% of the people that went on the thing that breathes for you, they didn't come out of that.
Intubating.
Yeah. They said, if you crash one, we're going to intubate you. And I prayed for him on FaceTime. You know, Tammy's holding the phone. I'm praying with him. His nurse is holding the phone. She's dressed like, you know, E.T. movie.
Yeah, totally.
And he went home 2 days later, totally healed.
Wow.
Now, he's still not a believer.
Right, yeah,
you know, but now I have a way to talk to him. I was like, okay, so it's a way to introduce people into God. Because here's what a miracle says. God is real. He still cares and he still acts. Because what most people say is, why does it even matter? You know, they just see God as this angry old man upstairs that wants to keep me from fun and judge my life. When I would say, actually, God is a vibrant father in heaven who loves you, and he's actually trying to save your life. Sin is not something that's fun. It's something that's destructive, and it destroys you. And I've experienced that. And,
dude, it's going to be so helpful for so many people. Thank you for writing the book and thank you for being my friend. Oh,
thank you. Well, thank you for having grace for me when I didn't know what I was doing.
None of us did, bro. We could spend 40 years of podcast episodes on all of my missteps at Sandals Church and how you loved me through it. So thank you, man.
Well, I did love you. And here's what I would tell you, Carlos. Here's what I've learned. The more important somebody is to me, the worse I am at managing it. So like if I don't, if it's an employee that's just an employee, and I don't want to say that I don't care about all my employees, but if they're just an employee, I'm so much better, Carlos. I'm such a better leader to them than when I am personally invested. It's like my wife and I, all my counseling, all my training, it all goes out the window when we're in a fight. Because it matters to me on a level that I can't even comprehend. And that's what I would say with you and Heather is, like, in my mind, we were going to do ministry forever. Like, we were...
Yep.
We were like, and I put on you what I think the Lord put on me. The Lord called me to Sandals. And ultimately the saddleback thing, that's why the Lord, I think Rick would have asked me to leave sandals. And so that's not what we were talking about.
Yeah.
We were not talking about, right. We were talking about the potential of us partnering together. And I think he would have asked me to leave. And here's the thing. I think the Lord knew I would have said yes. And wow. That's hard for me to say. And I would have been disobedient to God. And for all your listeners, I've been outside of the will of God and you don't want to do that. So, you know, the Lord says, the Bible says God never gives us more than we can, you know, he will never allow us to be tempted beyond our control. There's always a way out. And I think God gave me a way out. So.
Wow. Wow. Powerful. Yeah. That's good. I love you.
Yeah, I love
you. And I'm grateful for you and I'm grateful for everything I've been through with
you
and everything that we're going to go through, you know, and I'm proud of you. I literally am so proud of you.
Thank you.
So, thanks for hanging out and chatting with us. This has been so good.
Yeah. Thank you, brother. Love you.
Wow. Talk about a blast from the past. I mean, we talked about things I didn't think we were going to talk about on that podcast. Thank you, Matt. And everybody, please make sure that you go pick up his book. The book is going to be in the show notes. You guys can do that. Honor him. Let him know how much you appreciated the conversation. And I don't know, Matt, I feel like we could do like a 10-part docuseries on what life was like as young, impressionable pastors trying to build this airplane called Sandals Church while we're taking off. It was a blast. And so thank you for the convo, Matt. And thank you for sticking around, Carlos Whitaker podcast listeners. We've got a plan. We've got a bunch of conversations coming your way. Every single Thursday, you guys know what to do. Please do me a favor. Follow the show, subscribe to the show, share the show. It's really important and it really helps. So you want to help me help you? Then you can help me help you by sharing the show and following the show. Love you guys. Thanks so much. Oh, hold on. Wait. We got to hit the correct theme music. Oh, yeah. Okay, so hold on. How am I going to start closing the show? That was a great show. Thank you for hanging out with us on another episode of the Carlos Whitaker podcast. So I just want to let you know, I'm grateful that you're here. I'm grateful that you're going to come back. And I got one question. Y'all ready for this? Here we go. Hey, see you guys later. Hey.